Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from two passages in the New Testament. First, out of the book of Hebrews, and then out of the letter Paul to the Philippians. Hebrews, we're not sure who wrote it, but it may have been Paul, but whomever. I'm going to read out of chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And the writer says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." And then out of Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, "But whatever gain I had," Paul says, "I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." Well, this morning for a moment, a couple of questions, a couple of things to look at. Where are we headed? What's important? Who are we? How are we defined? What defines us in life? Yeah, I'm a baseball guy, so you may know also that the Major League Baseball playoffs are around the corner after another long baseball season. Football seasons, well, it looks like they're going to go full speed, college and professional, and they're upon us, ready to go. All of them ultimately reaching for championship trophies, awaiting one team at the end of the respective seasons. And the rest of the teams, well, I suppose they're failures, one and all. And that sense of failure, that sense of, let's say, falling short, starts to define them, starts to define some of them, starts to define individuals within their organizations, their coaches, their players and staff, and also in the eyes of fans, athletic departments, media, of course, the sports world and beyond, and maybe begins to define their own view of themselves. But by those success standards of the world, which are always temporary, shallow, and always come up empty, we tend to forget the standard God calls us to, the standard which God uses to define us, you and me, and that guides us. So what should define us? Busyness? If at the end of the day, whenever that is, we're exhausted, whipped, wrung out, is that how we want to be defined? Hustling through each day, trying to meet the world's expectations, reaching for what society says is important, whether it's trophies or image or championships or money or success or big business, all sorts of stuff. Getting up each day and then doing it again and reaching again for all of that, yet too often coming up and feeling unsatisfied, feeling that something is missing. Last few weeks, we've looked at the life of Jabez and as he reached beyond and refused to accept what the world defined him to be, what the world defined his future would be like. We looked at the character and integrity that marked his life. And then we looked at the character and integrity through the example of a Cub Scout Pinewood Derby competition and then through a little green frog by the name of Kermit in the Muppet movie. Qualities of integrity, my friends, qualities of character, undergird and define that life of purpose which God calls us to. So how do we find and live out that life of purpose, a life aligned with the God who created the universe and created you and me? How do we live it out? By just going through the motions each day like we did the day before, always trying to meet the expectations of the world while always or totally unaware, maybe just at times, of all the real potential, the opportunities before us that pass before us, often unnoticed by us because of our busyness, not on your life or on his. Then how do we live that life of impact, that life of purpose, which God created us for and calls us to live every day? Well, the answer, my friends, begins in the passage from Hebrews that we read a moment ago, where the author tells us to keep our lives fixed on the one who is our example, a focus fixed on the one greater than all the world, a focus which moves us to run with perseverance the race we were created to run through all the difficulties, over the mountains, past the detours, around the distractions, a focus which sets aside all the less important stuff, the bling, the trophies, the money, all the worldly temptations and standards, and everything else the Apostle Paul referred to as the rubbish of life in his letter to the church at Philippi that we read a minute ago. Or in the Message translation, instead of the word rubbish, the words dog dung are used. And he said it's all dog dung compared to his relationship with Christ. A focus which that writer in Hebrews reminds us of, which will instead energize us, empower, and lift us to our best in all we do. A focus which carries us through our days and beyond the problems and temptations we face and the failures that we all will experience to a life of eternal and lasting value and impact. And that focus is, are you ready? Jesus and what he wants for our lives. A recent trip to Highlands in North Carolina reminded me of an evening years ago during a previous trip there with Linda and Nathan and Amy and Hannah, at the time our only granddaughter, now our elder granddaughter, who was only 2 at the time. Hannah, by the way, has just gotten engaged a few days ago to a precious Christian young man named John. So we lift them in prayer always, always have. I had just walked up to the cottage, though, back that day to turn on the lights so the kids would be able to see their way up later in the dark. And as I returned to the house, I saw something I hadn't seen in a while, fireflies blinking and twinkling in the bushes, lighting my path as I'd walked down the drive to the house below. When I got back to my family, I announced what I had just seen. Fireflies. Quick as a flash, Nathan scooped Hannah into his arms and took her out on the front deck. As they both peered into the dark night, Nathan would see a firefly twinkle in the darkness and say, "There's one, Hannah. Did you see the firefly?" And then in a moment, he'd spot another and another. "There's one. There's one. Did you see it, Hannah?" And with her little 2-year-old head stretched forward, almost falling out of his arms, and her eyes fixed into the darkness all around her, she suddenly exclaimed, "There's one! There's one!" And as the moon continued to rise in the dark night sky, while wrapped securely in her daddy's arms, Hannah's eyes remained fixed, focused into the night, awaiting with a sense of wonder another flash of light. "There's one! There's one!" We would hear over and over until she quietly fell asleep on her daddy's shoulder. The next morning after breakfast and while looking for snails with her daddy on the front deck, she excitedly announced, "There's one! There's one!" "What, Hannah?" Nathan asked. "A firefly!" she exclaimed. "Why, of course." But she saw it, not with her eyes that morning in the bright morning sunshine, although her gaze was still as focused, but instead now she saw it with her heart. That one experience with her daddy the night before, seeing something wonderful, something new, the twinkling lights of fireflies had created a sense of eye-popping wonder in her and a passion in her heart forever fixed on fireflies. The author of Hebrews directs us to fix our eyes, commit our hearts to that light of Christ which came into the world for us with a focus of the same intensity Hannah had in her heart when she saw fireflies in the morning light. The word fixed, which is used in that passage in Hebrews that we read, as in to fix your eyes, is from the Greek word aphorio, A-P-H-O-R-A-O, aphorio, meaning to look away from all else and fix one's gaze upon. It's a gaze of such intensity that it springs from the depths of our heart so that we, like Hannah, can see fireflies in the morning light. It's a gaze of the heart that follows him, the supreme model and example of our faith, which empowers us to deal with whatever we face in life. Look, I know a bit of what some of you are facing at the moment. Illness, a death in the family, a call from a friend saying goodbye because he knew his days were numbered here on earth. Broken dreams in your life. Your career path has changed. A relationship is damaged or has been lost. The wind is blowing hard into your face and your legs feel like they're wobbling out of control. Life can be a bit unsteady or worse at times. But with the focus which the writer of Hebrews suggests, we are reminded that in the midst of whatever we face, we are never alone. And with Him, we are never off track, never. The wind blowing in our face, our legs wobbling, feeling unsteady, we are never alone and never off track because He's there. The life which God created us to live begins, my friends, with our focus. It defines our today and will define our future and will forever, listen to me now, will forever fall short of being all we can be and of having the life-changing impact we were meant to have unless our focus is on Christ, period. We may have worldly success. We may have wealth and image and names on buildings and all sorts of acclaim. But if we're satisfied with that, we'll be settling for less. And we will never be all we could be or feel fulfilled and satisfied without Christ in us directing and providing the peace of His presence with us on our journey. My friends, you may be facing the toughest game, the toughest moment, the most difficult decision of your life. You may be facing the uncertainty of a new season in life or a new season in sports or in business, whatever, with all sorts of expectations, with storms awaiting you, with challenges or other obstacles and pathways you didn't see coming and won't see coming at times, all of which will test you. But no matter what is before you, to be all you can be, to have the impact God intends for you to have in the lives around you, to find your way through whatever you will face, do what the writer of Hebrews calls you to do and fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and Lord of all that there is and all there ever will be, remembering that He has already finished the race and not only is watching and cheering us on, but He is there with you and me and will be as we run our own race today and tomorrow and all the way to the finish when we step from here into the arms of our Heavenly Father. The race, the journey, the incredible life He has set before you and me. Don't miss it. And don't settle for less. Fix your eyes on Him with such intensity and faithfulness that you can see fireflies in the morning light. And watch what He does for you and through you to touch the world for good. Let me pray for us. Father, thank You. Wow, thank You for that powerful message out of Hebrews, for the reminder, simple reminder to fix our eyes on You, the author and perfecter of our faith, the champion who's gone before us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for walking with us, for setting the course before us, but always reminding us that You're there to walk with us. Ask Your blessing on those going through surgery now. Doctors are helping them, claiming a healing. Changes in careers, new doors opening, new steps being taken, a young couple, my granddaughter and her husband-to-be. All the changes in our life, Lord, we just pray that You are, we know You're aware of them, that You would just walk with them and they would reach out to You and fix their eyes in the midst of all of that, on You. And might we do that as well, as You walk with us, as You poke us, as You drag us, as You push us, as You carry us, to be all that You want us to be, and together with You to help others to be all that You created them to be. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all You do for us and with us. In Your Son's precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.